Showtime.
All right. Welcome back to another very special edition of Area 11. My name is Kyle Kekka, along with my co-host, Mr.
Matt Bate. What up, guys? How you doing? We back for season two. I know we've been planning. We've been working behind the scenes, but we back. We back, baby.
And we have a couple very special guests today that were on last season's NBA preview episode. Two very good friends of the show, Mr. Josh Bragg and Mr. Ronnie Miller. How you guys doing today?
Good, man.
Great. Yeah.
Well, thanks
doing
for coming.
Just fine.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate you coming back to talk hoops. We are at a pretty good point in the season where we could kind of talk about some things that are happening in a more granular sense in terms of, you know, how teams look, other things like that. I think this is going to be a good show. We're going to be talking about that ESPN 25 under 25 list that made a lot of headlines last week. We're going to be kind of dissecting that list and kind of making some changes of our own potentially. We're going to be talking about the MVP race, who we think should be MVP at this point, and some other contenders. And we're also going to be talking about some potential playoff matchups. And then after that, we are going to do our music bracket as The Weeknd, Mr. Abel Tesfaye, one of the greatest artists this generation. I might have pronounced that name wrong, but you get what I'm saying, The Weeknd. So without further ado, let's get this started. So the first thing we're going to be talking about today is the ESPN 25 under 25 list. Multiple sports shows were talking about that list last week. Basically, ESPN compiled a list of the 25 best players under the age of 25 based on future potential. That was kind of a kind of a confusion point across fans and commentators league-wide. But this list, it was compiled based off future potential, not just necessarily how they are now as players, but where we perceive them to be in the next probably 4 or 5-ish years. So I'm going to share my screen, and I'll have anyone who wants to go first go to talk about this list.
Nice background, man.
Thank you. Thank you. So just some general notes. So we got Luka Doncic, number one, Colin Sexton at number 25, and a lot of players in between. So who wants to go first to kind of dissect this list and see where some of these players are ranking, whether you agree or disagree?
I think I should go last probably since I made my own list. So
okay,
we can like compare it to that.
All right.
I can kick it off.
Yeah, I volunteer, Matt.
All right, best. So when we were planning, I told Kyle, like, for the most part, I think this list is pretty accurate. The only thing that, like, really stood out to me was Melo at number 3. I think that as of now, we've seen, like, obviously due to his injury, he's out for the rest of the season. But when he wasn't injured, this dude was showing huge signs of being a real bright future talent. But the thing that's kind of questionable to me is to have him at number 3 this early. I mean, seeing who's beneath him, these guys have been in the league for quite some time now, and they've proven themselves season after season. I like to hear your guys' thoughts and inputs on that, but that I kind of hesitant about having Melo at 3. And then the other, because I'm a huge fan of Devin Booker, D-Book, it hurts to see him at number 8. I agree. I do feel like he's top 10 within this list. But honestly, I guess this is me being biased, but I have him potentially top 5, maybe at the number 5 spot. I think that I feel like he's one of those players that gets slept on. Not so much this season, because right now the Suns are, I believe, are in second place in the West. Mm-hmm. But in prior seasons, prior seasons, it really wasn't the talk of the town, especially out in the West. But I think, you know, I would have him personally top 5, maybe at the number 5 spot. No disrespect to Tatum or Fox, but I just think that Devin Booker has been pretty consistent throughout the past couple of years, especially now with the help of CP3, I feel like that team is starting to finally get their flowers. But yeah, that's just my take on kind of kicking things off. But you know, I'm curious to see what you guys are saying, and then we can kind of all go around and chime in. So yeah,
I think I've always been a big LaMelo believer. And roll back the tapes. I thought he should have went first overall in the last draft. I think time has obviously shown that to be true.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree that three is really high for LaMelo, even though he showed a lot of promise this year. I won't get into it yet, but I do not have him number three in my top 25. So I'll say that, right. Even though I'm a huge LaMelo fan, he's amazing. Yeah, and a big believer. I think he's going to be a superstar, but
thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. So what you got to say, Ronnie?
LaMelo, like, I get it. Having him that high, like, I can argue against him, but I wouldn't. He's just – what he showed before he got hurt was way more than I thought he was capable of. I didn't think he was going to get off to a fast start this year at all. And he kind of – even though he was playing well, he was still, like, coming off the bench for a really long time, a lot longer than he probably should have been. Mm. And, like, I don't even think he really started a ton of games before he got hurt. But he was just playing at a completely different level than everyone else in the class. So I don't blame him for having LaMelo that high. It's some of the other guys that, like, I think are a little bit lower than they should be. It's like that mid-tier player, like everywhere from SGA to like John Morant. Some of those guys, I'm like, if we're basing it off of future potential, I think some of those guys are way too high. Because, like, Brandon Ingram is a good player, but Anthony Edwards has way more potential than Brandon Ingram. So, like, I have more problems at the latter half of the list than I do at the top half. Because, like, top half, it's all guys that, like, they've kind of proven it, even though they're mostly on teams that aren't that good, other than, like, Simmons and, like, they're fringe playoff teams. But, like, some of the young guys like Edwards and Trey Young, like he averaged 30 and 10. I get the whole defensive argument.
Yeah.
He's just never going to be a good defender. He's never going to be an average defender, but dude averaged 30 and 10 in his second year. And you got guys like Jaylen Brown. Like, Jaylen Brown's a good player, but I don't think he's, I just think Trey Young can be like the best player on a very good team, and I don't think Jaylen Brown can be. I don't think Jaylen's the best player on his team. But
yeah, so this and that's what makes this list so tricky too, because you kind of have to, you know, as fans, it's challenging to kind of project out. Like, we want a player to be this, but is he going to turn out to be like that? And that's what makes this list so challenging, because a guy like LaMelo Ball, I agree. I can see him being that high. Initially, I thought that it wasn't that he was a little bit too high, you know, over guys like Donovan Mitchell, players like that. But if we're really talking about growth and really growing into yourself as a player, LaMelo Ball, I could see as a potential future MVP candidate. I mean, he is electric. He makes his teammates better. He is involved in every facet of the game. I was not a big LaMelo Ball fan when he was coming out. I didn't think he'd be that good. And yet he proved me wrong, and I'm glad he proved me wrong, because he's electric to watch. I think one of the biggest quarrels that I have on this list is Michael Porter Jr. being 14. He should be in the top 10. That's just my opinion. But if we're talking about growth, Michael Porter Jr. hasn't really played that much yet compared to some of the other guys on this list because of injuries. And even then, you know, the last 2 months he's averaging what, over 20 points a game. He could be a poor man's Kevin Durant, I think, at his peak. It's very hard to, you know, put Kevin Durant in a player comp, but Michael Porter Jr., in terms of his size, his shooting ability, his electricity, he should be in the top 10. But that's another challenge to think about these kind of lists too, because who do you drag down?
Yeah.
From you know, certain spots. Because I'm a fan of most of these players on this list. I think if you were to drop any players a couple spots, it's because they've either been in the league a couple years to where we kind of already know who they are. Like, take like a Ben Simmons, for example. He's probably never going to shoot, barring something drastic. So, you know, should we drop him down? Maybe put Michael Porter Jr. a couple spots, kind of maybe near his place. I think John Morant should be higher. I think Mikal Bridges should be higher. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on this list that I like, but there's also some things I do different. So I don't know if anyone wants to bounce off that, but that's my official opinion on this list.
I think you put it really well there in terms of like there's a lot of players on here that really know what they are.
Yeah. We can't hear you very well. Yeah, no. No, we can't hear you very well.
We're gonna have to edit this
out. Yep, you're good. You're good. There you go.
What?
Yep.
Could you guys hear me well the whole time?
Yeah.
Ronnie and Matt.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
But was it just like for a little bit?
Yeah, it was like 10 seconds.
Yeah, you're good now.
That's weird. Okay, so we'll just do like a 3-2-1 thing, right?
Yeah.
Restart. Okay.
Yeah.
3-2-1. So yeah, Kyle, what you said about this?
It went out again. Oh yeah, it went out again.
Let's pause. I'm taking that shit.
Okay.
What's going on?
No problem. We can.
So as Kyle said, it's the most difficult thing about this is that. For a lot of these players, since we're judging based off of potential, a lot of these players, we already kind of have a good idea what they're going to be. So that's why I feel like it's almost better to do a 23 under 23. I just feel like that's a better age to cut off at because, some of these players might have some experience in the league, but the oldest players in the draft get drafted around age like 22, 23 when they're like seniors in college. I just feel like dropping off that age ceiling a little bit would help out in terms of potential. But overall, yeah, I agree that Morant is way too low and another player down there that I think is way too low that I'll get into. But I'll save most of the talk during this part for Matt and Ronnie since I have my own ranking. So
for sure. Yeah. Is there any other thing you guys wanted to kind of touch on before we head over to Josh List about this current 25?
Anthony Edwards is way too low. Like I know I said it before, but the more I look at it, it's just egregious. He's way too low.
So why Anthony Edwards, Ronnie?
Because like coming out of the draft, we were all like not very high on, like we kind of said some mean shit about Anthony Edwards. We were all about Wiseman, all about LaMelo Ball, like, and, he was the number one pick, and we were like, no, we're just not going to talk about him. We're not going to pick him for, like, rookie of the year. Like, we didn't even bring him up. And he has been really the only – I mean, Halliburton's had some good plays and stuff, but for me, Edwards is the only one who's given LaMelo any pressure for rookie of the year. He's, like, shown he's super athletic. He's got better ball skills than I thought he did. Like, I didn't realize he would be this good this early at handling the ball. And not just, like, handling the ball to score, but handling the ball to facilitate.
Yeah.
That's not something I realized that he had in his game at that level. And then just pairing him with Towns and, like, they're going to have another good draft pick. Like, not like, lottery good, like, top three good.
Yeah.
And like as good as Towns is, it's completely feasible that in 3 years Anthony Edwards is the best player on that team. Like, and I just did not see that coming out of the draft, but he's kind of shown me a little more than I definitely thought he was capable of. So
kind of going off that, I guess Minnesota's really hoping for Cade Cunningham now. Because to me, what Minnesota needs is a point guard to tie everything together. I mean, because they have all these athletic wings, they have Towns. They need someone to tie everything together, and Cunningham would appear to be that guy, or maybe even Jalen Suggs, who knows. I agree. I mean, he's very electric. He can jump out of the gym. He's very fun to watch. As long as he improves his efficiency, I think he'll be a good player. Matt, you have anything else to say before we head over to Josh's list? Any other minor points?
No, I think everybody touched on some good points. I agree with pretty much what everybody said because it's kind of tricky to assess this the way it is. So, with that said, let's turn over to Josh.
Let's do it. I'll stop sharing. I'm interested to see what Josh did.
So I just got a disclaimer. here is that I don't think Ronnie's going to like this very much based off of
no, because Trae Young's going to be 25 and Anthony Edwards is going to be 22 and
no.
Jared Allen's going to be 6 and
get that Trae Young blasphemy out of here. Let me see if I can pull up. I'm trying to share this tab. One sec. We'll do, Chrome, sure. All right. There we go. So you can see my screen, right?
Oh, yes. I already know Matt's going to like this list. Look at who's number 3.
Yeah, so as you can see, the spacing, I like to do things more in terms of tiers rather than, like, actual ranking. So I would focus less on, like, hey, Booker's 3rd, Morant's 7th, but they're really just in the same tier. I kind of just went quick through ordering them roughly. I don't think Ronnie's gonna like this down here.
Anthony Edwards at 25. Oh man, we just had Anthony Edwards left.
I think that's a little too harsh, maybe. I mean, maybe
I put him like I just don't even agree with the tiers at this point. Like, I like, so, I like at the least fact agree that you with have the first tiers. Two.
Yes, players? Yeah.
Like,
all right, yeah.
Zion has had an MVP caliber season.
Yes.
Luka. Matt's gonna like this right here. Booker at 3. He's been incredible this year. He's on the thing that's impressed me the most is that he's always been a problem, like, defensively, but he is actually like, he's really started to get engaged on defense, and he's on a team that's like 5th or 3rd in like defensive rating this year. I know a lot of that's the Chris Paul effect of just making every team better, but he makes Booker better anyway. Like, Booker is awesome now. And maybe you shouldn't be 3rd. Maybe Trae Young should be higher. But yeah, take that blasphemy out of your mouth, Ronnie. I'm not a hater. I have opinions, and Trae Young is awesome, obviously. I thought it was crazy that ESPN had him at what, 16?
Yeah.
That's averaging like 28 and 9, and he's just an absurd creator, creates a bunch of secondary assists and whatnot as well. Trae Young is easily in that second tier, even if there's well-documented issues with this defense. It's never going to be improved. But so that first tier, Luka and Zion, they're just superstars already. They're incredible. That second tier, we've got Booker, Trey, LaMelo, Bam, and Ja Morant.
Okay.
The reason why I've always been a huge Ja Morant guy, me and Kyle.
Love me some Ja Morant.
The reason why he's, like, kind of lower in that tier is because he's not – like, my only concern is his shooting. I think he's shooting like 29% from 3 this year. He's got to be better from that for teams to not go under, you know?
Yeah.
On screens.
He'll get better at that.
And then this, like, 3rd tier here is huge, and I didn't really know how to rank anybody. But that's what we were talking about. Like, hey, there's too many people over the age of 23 here that, like, okay, we know all these guys are, like, borderline all-star / all-star level players. It's hard to really, like, rank them in order. We got, like, Mitchell, Tatum, SGA. Already like all-star level. Simmons, we know he's never going to be able to shoot, apparently, but he's still like a very versatile defender and an elite finisher at the rim and transition, whatnot. Brown started off the year on fire, but he's since fallen off a little bit efficiency wise. And everyone else is just like, yeah, they're really good and whatnot. And again, you could easily talk me through anywhere in this tier. Rank them in whatever order. But then we get to that 4th tier there. Jared Allen, Haliburton, Mikal Bridges. The reason why they're down there is because they're not really like involved as much in terms of the offense. They're all 3 players I would really like to have on my team. But they're more of, I see them more of like complementary pieces, those 3, rather than like the guys above them are all like key cogs in terms of the offense, or they're just a dominant defender like Simmons. And then, yeah, maybe the most blasphemous tier is the last one. Ingram was an all-star, but I'm just not a big believer in his play style and fit, especially on the Pelicans with point Zion. I don't think he really fits in well there. Mm-hmm. I don't think he adds much on defense. John Collins, he's awesome at what he does. It's just hard to, like, big men with his play style are just less valuable these days. But, like, he's still, like, a player you want to have in your team. Alonzo really struggles with his efficiency.
He's getting better though, which is good. Seems like he's finally turning
better.
Yeah.
But since he's getting older though, I have to have him lower.
Yeah, for sure.
This is his potential rating. Sabonis, that might be seem pretty blasphemous, but we are like, he's not going to get any better. Like he's already kind of like, no, like he's a good player. You want to have on your team, but I feel like his defensive limitations are huge. I think that Miles Turner is better, which he's under 25, isn't he?
Yeah, I think it seems like he's been in the league forever. And he's
I'd have him higher on this list than Sabonis. I'm just not a believer in his game. Sexton, I used to make fun of him, like how bad he was. And Kyle had him on his fantasy team, and he beat the crap out of me with him.
He's shown
some progress, but still like a revolving door in defense. And yes, lastly, we'll go down to Edwards.
Woo!
The reason I'm not doing that just to like slander Edwards or anything. I will say that I think his highest end potential is a lot higher than players on this list, especially those that are already 25. I think that Edwards can be close to a borderline all-star at his peak, but I just think that what we've seen this year in terms of, so I'll just go through some of the numbers real quick. And, it's not all the numbers, it's the eye test too, but specifically in terms of the numbers, he's shooting 50% true shooting, which like for a rookie, you expect it to be low, but like barely hitting 50% is just rough for a first overall pick. You at least want to see a little bit better than that. But the thing that's even more concerning is that like he was averaging, I think he averages like 2.6 assists per game as a guard playing 31 minutes a game. Like he has like virtually no passing instincts whatsoever. And the reason why he still has a lot of potential to hit that high ceiling is his athletic prowess. We all saw that poster dunk. And he really shows the potential there. But the fact that he just can't, I'm just worried that he's not going to be able to score efficiently. And an even bigger issue potentially is his defense. Like he's just Wiggins level defensively in Minnesota. I shouldn't say Wiggins. He's kind of decent now. Indeed, but yeah, it just reminds me of Andrew Wiggins in Minnesota. And maybe if he was on another team, Edwards would be in better shape. But I don't think it's going too well. And the fact that he's second rookie of the year, I think it's pretty crazy. Or maybe first now. I think Haliburton's a much better prospect. So that's that.
All right.
That might be kind of controversial, but.
Yeah, the only major quarrel that I have, I like the list. The only major quarrel that I have is that I wish Michael Porter Jr. was higher.
Yeah, you know what? I felt like I could easily be talking too high.
I mean, I'm a huge MPJ fan. Like, yeah, he's one of my favorite young players.
I'm going to jump in here because everything you said about Anthony Edwards is what I see when I look at Michael Porter Jr.
Like, yeah, the only difference,
he's got the same problems, except he's 6'10".
Except that he's actually efficient, though. That's the thing. He actually is a good scorer.
He is a very good shooter, and he is improving his efficiency for sure. I think defense is always going to be kind of a problem-ish, maybe.
Yeah,
but
he's a terrible defender right now.
But
yeah, he's bigger too, and like Edwards, I think it's like 6'5", whatnot. I think Porter.
Yeah, I think he's like 6'4", 6'10",
or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I could be talking. I see the same issue. That's why I've always been like kind of skeptical of MPJ, but he's just been lighting the scoreboard up efficiently, so that's why he's higher.
Okay.
So yeah, I guess Ronnie and Kyle are really different on MPJ then.
Yeah, and I mean, there's no problem with that. I think, you know, for any young player, you know, it can go either way. You know, we still don't really know who he is. You know, he could get injured again for all we know. But I'm more on the pro MPJ train. But yeah, this is me.
Ready.
All right. Well, that concludes the first segment of this podcast where we discuss the 2525. We're gonna head into MVP conversation now. So, Ronnie, I have a question for you.
Yes.
At this point in the season, who is your MVP and why? And also, sorry. And I was going to say how it differs from your preseason MVP pick.
All right. So preseason, I picked Kevin Durant.
Okay.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah. Just,
And like when we were talking about a preseason, I said that, like, the only reason Kevin Durant hasn't been a perennial MVP candidate is because he's missed time with injuries. And lo and behold, he's missed some time with injuries.
Yeah.
He started off the year just on a complete hot streak. He was putting the ball in the bucket and he looked unstoppable. And that's kind of got off to a rougher start before the Harden trade. And all three of them have played maybe like a handful of games together. I'd say less than 10, definitely less than 10. But Kevin Durant's still Kevin Durant. When he's healthy, he's just got to be on the floor at the right time of the year. So I understand why he's been slow to come back, and recently come back the past couple weeks and torn it up. But it's just not going to be his year. He's missed too much time, and honestly, he's probably not the best MVP candidate on his team this year. I think Harden's got a much better case than either Kyrie or Durant. But for me, it's Jokic. Huge Jokic fan. Love everything he does. He's a generational passer. He's become more and more of a dominant post scorer. Earlier in his career, I thought he was a little bit too deferential, but now he's really starting to take the responsibility of being the best player on the team and doing it like night in and night out. I thought before he used to kind of look for ways out of taking big shots sometimes, and now he's really relishing it and just scoring very efficiently. He does it all for that team, and they are poised to make a deep playoff run because of him.
Okay. I can get behind that. Matt, how about you? Who's your MVP pick, and how does it differ from your preseason?
Yeah, so last episode where we had these guys on, I think I had Giannis. To be honest, I don't know why I said Giannis. We all know that, you know what I'm saying, he's a great player.
Yeah.
He's been
consistent. Voter fatigue. That was the issue.
Exactly. And so, yes, but now I'm agreeing with Ronnie. I got the Joker. Just because I feel like, to kind of echo off of what he was saying, that earlier in the season, there was that period in which they had lost Jamal Murray due to injury. And I think we talked about this in another episode, but I said that he kind of had to put the team on his back at the time and take those shots that he wasn't usually taking. And just being the dominant person that he is. This year, I think every year he's been consistent at what he does. But I think like this year especially, he's just taking over that team and really being their true captain. He's averaging 26 points per game, which is for a big man, that's real good. I think if he keeps this up, because I think, I don't know where we're looking at right now, but I think like right behind him was Joel Embiid. But the reason why I never, even like before this episode, those two were the main guys, but I never really saw Joel Embiid getting the spot. Although he's a fantastic player, the thing with him that kind of hurts him is his injury. And I remember I told Kyle, I was like, the big two is going to come down to Joker and Joel Embiid. And I was like, if that man Joel Embiid gets injured, I was like, it's GG's. And I think it was 2 months ago or a month ago, he got injured. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? I think I felt at that point the gap was more spaced out between Joker and him. And I mean, Joker is still balling at a efficient rate. So yeah, I got the Joker winning the MVP this year.
It's crazy how when Embiid went down with that injury, you know, everyone was saying he was going to win MVP, and now it's just wide open, kind of. Like, yeah. There's people that are saying names from all over the aisle, apparently, yeah. Except Ronnie and Matt so far. It's going to be interesting. Josh, how about you?
So for MVP, I feel like sometimes there's a disconnect between – actually, I shouldn't say sometimes. There is often a disconnect between, like, who I think should win the award and who will win it. For example, in 2017, Westbrook won it, but I personally thought that Harden should have. And now here in 2021, I don't think there is such disconnect. And I don't think it's as wide open as you might think it is, Kyle Kekka. I think Jokic is a clear MVP this year, both in terms of who's going to win it and who I think deserves it as well. And I remember, yeah, you were talking about a few months back, Matt, that it was like people were saying like, oh, this is between Embiid and Jokic. But I also remember that LeBron was actually top of the Vegas odds. And yeah. I'm so happy that I'm not a big betting man, but I saw that Jokic was third in odds. And I'm like, wow, that seems like a good deal. Like, I'm going to put like 10 bucks on that. And that's what I did. And now Jokic is like a clear front runner. Man. If only I did that with Jordan Clarkson, who was barely even on the 6-man board. And that was my pick on this podcast was Jordan Clarkson.
Mine too.
And now he is like, his American odds are like minus like 1,000 something. So like he's going to win it.
We should, yeah, we could have won a lot of money on that.
I could have won a lot of money on that. Me and you, Kyle, we were prophets. This podcast, people need to start listening to us.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's not my podcast, but yeah, we've got to promote that. We know we're prophets, except for when we pick Luka Doncic as MVP or Giannis or
okay
or Kevin Durant or who did you pick, Kyle?
I pick Luka.
Luka, yeah.
So I mean, he's got a decent case now, but he's
yeah,
not.
And the thing is, yeah, Luka was my pick for MVP, and he's having a really good year.
He is.
It's just like it's not as like dominant as you know it could have been going in. And yeah, Jokic is my number one. I also had just made like a quick top three. I have Kawhi as number two. I feel like he's gone a little bit under the radar this year. His numbers are off the charts this year. We all know he's going to miss some games here and there. But the funny thing about the Clippers is that they like strategically pick which games to rest him. Like, for example, he didn't play against the Pistons because the Pistons are bad. Sorry, Matt. And they're also they're also in the East, so it doesn't really affect their, like, playoff race very much.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it'll be really important. Even if Kawhi isn't in the actual running to win this award, I think he can prove that he deserves it if this late push here, the Clippers like stave off like the Nuggets from taking the three seed and avoiding the Lakers. The Clippers can finish top three, and Kawhi's a big part of that. And, I think he'll show that he's in consideration for MVP, even if he's not really getting that buzz. And then third, I had Harden because Harden obviously apparently is always in the race, no matter what team he's on, what year it is. Harden,
he's gonna be there.
He's gonna be there.
He's gonna be there. Beard and all.
I think he should have two MVPs because I talked about that Westbrook one, but.
Okay.
He's always in it. He's always in it.
So I have Jokic as well, but because the Jokic conversation is getting a little bit repetitive, I'm going to make a case.
You can gas him up a little bit more.
Okay. So I will gas up Jokic and then I'll make a devil's advocate for who I think should be second. Okay. A player that has not been named yet. But Jokic, he's averaging almost a triple double. He's kept Denver afloat, especially in the first part of the season when Jamal Murray was not shooting very well and when the whole team was not playing any defense at all. Jokic was the one constant. And now he's got them at fourth or I believe it's fourth or third.
Fourth in
the conference. And he's just super, super – I mean, he's shooting, what, 56% from the field, 42% from three. It's ridiculous. And he's making Sambor shuffle shot after Sambor shuffle shot. He's distributing, he's rebounding, he's doing everything for that team. So I do have Jokic as my fairly clear-cut favorite. But I'm going to make a case for Damian Lillard. So Damian Lillard, he may not be having quite the statistical season that Jokic is having, who, again, is still my MVP. But Lillard has Portland fifth in the West, the last time I checked, without CJ McCollum, for long stretches of time, without Yusuf Nurkic for long stretches of time, arguably their second and third best players, respectively. If you take Damian Lillard off Portland, Portland is a probably bottom three, bottom four team in the Western Conference. And I bet you can say that about quite a bit of players that are in Lillard's kind of tier. Yeah. But Lillard has kept Portland afloat. And if you talk about valuable, how valuable a player has been to his team, Lillard has been nothing but valuable and then some. So I think, and he's averaging almost 30 points a game. He's doing it pretty efficiently as well in terms of true shooting percentage, all that. Oh, Matt, there we go with the background. Yes, sir. That's a dope background that you made, by the way. And kind of a sentimental thing too. I mean, I love Damian Lillard, probably not as much as Matt, but he's, you know, he's a great guy. I hope he wins it. I know that doesn't have anything to do with the MVP race, but I'm just saying yeah. I love him as a person, and I think he's everything for Portland. So I that's my case for Damian Lillard. I think Jokic should still win it, but I think Lillard should definitely be in the top two or very minimum top three.
And one thing I just want to – sorry, go ahead, Matt.
No, you know.
All right, so the one thing I want to say about Dame real quick is that, like, he's obviously been incredible his whole career and this year too. And he's been amazing in the clutch this year. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but he's just incredibly efficient in the clutch and one of the top, like, producers as well. But just for Dame, I've just noticed that kind of recently he's been not as crazy as he's been all year. Like, I think he's been scoring, like, in the like teens-ish or so, and, like, not great efficiency lately. So we'll see. We'll see if that. I think he got, like, somewhat injured lately, or hurt, not really injured. So we'll see if that, like, keeps up the rest of the season. But just, like, kind of recently, he hasn't been as good. But,
he's
been awesome. So we all love Dame Dalla.
We do.
Yeah, I feel like. He's the type of player to turn on, like, when the team needs it. So I feel like every year when the playoffs come, like, even though obviously, like, they haven't made it, like, far, far recently, he still knows like, when to turn on, like, in the right times. But one thing I did want to bring up, according to DraftKings, this article came out earlier today. They had Jokic at one, Embiid at two, Giannis at three, Harden at four, LeBron at five, Luka six, Damian seven, Donovan Mitchell eight, Steph at nine, Kawhi at 10.
Kawhi at 10, look at that. Damn.
D Book at 11 and Chris Paul at 12. So I think top five is pretty expected, I guess, for to say.
I can see the top five. I do think that Luka's making a pretty good late season push.
There's a lot to choose from. It's hard to really say. You can make a case for, like, any of those top 10 guys.
I don't know. For me, after the first month of the season, it was just a two-man race. It was Embiid or Jokic. And once Embiid got hurt, that kind of put the kibosh on that. Like, they were just head and shoulders above everybody else. Like, for real, just every night Embiid was going crazy. He was who I had leading. As good as Jokic has been, I think that Embiid's probably been better when he's been playing.
Yeah, and like,
but he's just missed too much time.
I'm
happy though. I mean, because Jokic is probably going to win at this point, barring some catastrophic thing.
Yeah.
I'm happy that the big man is starting to kind of regain its consciousness in the NBA, you know, because for the past couple of years, we've been talking about 3-and-D guys, we've been talking about point guards, wings, and to me at least, it seemed like the big man had kind of lost its way a little bit, and now it's making a big comeback, and I'm really happy about that.
A center hasn't won MVP since Shaq, so, like, he hasn't won.
Yeah,
that's a long-ass time.
I hope it makes people kind of reconsider what it means to be a great player in the league again, and hopefully this is going to inspire a lot of big men that, you know, to kind of a two-man. It's mostly, you know, for most of the season, it's been kind of a two-man race in a lot of ways, like what Ronnie was mentioning. So, I'm a big Jokic fan. I think we all are, and I think he's definitely going to deserve MVP, assuming he keeps on this pace. So, go Jokic! Shout out Nuggets! All right, so. This concludes the second main portion of our NBA/weekend podcast. The final NBA part we're going to be talking about is we're going to be going over some potential playoff matchups. Now, it's only April, and the finals do not start until July 8th, which, spoiler alert, is my birthday. But we have a pretty good idea of potential matchups that could be going on this postseason. With some projections that we've done, we can start to project out a little bit as to who's going to play who. And we're going to be talking about two potential playoff matchups pretty briefly before we head on to the weekend bracket. First, we're going to be talking about a potential Denver Nuggets and LA Lakers rematch that could happen in the first round, because the Lakers have kind of been sliding a little bit with LeBron and AD being out. And then after that, we're going to be talking about a Bucks Heat potential rematch based on the seeding right now. So let's start with Josh first this time. So Josh, Nuggets, Lakers, who'd you have and why?
Oh, man, that's so brutal for the Nuggets because they've just been incredible this season. Like, they're currently fourth in the West. They're going to have the MVP in Jokic. And to draw the fucking – excuse my language. I had to censor that. To draw the Lakers
– children are watching. No,
to draw the defending champion Lakers in the first round.
That's tough.
But I will say that the one positive of that is – if you figure you have to face the Lakers at some point, wouldn't you rather face them when they're still kind of recovering from injuries? I think AD and LeBron are going to be back soon, but they still have to get back into shape and whatnot. Maybe you can catch them sleeping in the first round. So, and the Nuggets, I mean, they would have home court advantage in this series. And we know there might be an altitude factor there, but also we might finally get fans back for the summer, so or they might actually have home court advantage, unlike what they did last year. So that could be a factor. At the end of the day, I would be remiss if I didn't take LeBron James in a playoff series. The man's lost two playoff series in the last decade or so. He's never lost a first round playoff series.
That's true.
Only series he loses apparently is to the most unstoppable of all time. Yeah, the finals to the literal best team ever. I mean, you have to pick the Lakers in this matchup. But, I mean, if the Nuggets do get through this, I think they'd be in great shape. I think if I had to pick, I think I'd take the Nuggets over the Jazz at this point just because they've been so good with Gordon on the floor. Mm. It's just been a different team with him. I mean, just not that they were bad to begin with, but it's just been such a good addition so far that I think that since depth gets less important in the postseason, I think the Nuggets, with their just incredible starting lineup, they could have them over the Jazz. But in terms of that actual Lakers-Nuggets matchup, the key, of course, is going to be how are the Nuggets going to counter that 80 at center lineup? We know that Jokic can hang with more of the traditional big men, but with AD's speed and agility and ability to create an isolation, how's he going to hang up?
Yeah.
To win the, playoff. We know what playoff atmosphere kind of basketball is like in terms of, everything gets more intense and whatnot. That's a big question with Jokic. This is defense, obviously. So we know he's going to produce an offense. So
my quick answer, just get out of the way, is Lakers.
Yeah.
Not really any rhyme or reason needed. I'm not going to bet against.
Yeah, LeBron I'm not going to bet against
LeBron. Ronnie, Lakers, Nuggets.
I'm going to go with the Nuggets.
Really? Okay. Do tell.
Because of Aaron Gordon.
Okay.
For me, it's not about AD. It's about LeBron. And I think Aaron Gordon gives you options when finding someone to guard LeBron that you didn't have prior. You were kind of relying on Michael Porter Jr. to play above his means, and now you don't have to do that. You can assign Aaron Gordon to him, and it's not going to be like if you're putting Kawhi on LeBron, but Aaron Gordon's proved that he can play defense at a pretty high level when he's engaged and when he has a reason to, and matching up against LeBron James in a playoff matchup is just about as good a reason as you can ask for. So,
okay.
And that's pretty much why they made the trade too, right? Like they knew what happened last year and they're like, oh, we need to have, in the playoffs, it basically comes down to Kawhi or LeBron. Who's just going to dominate. You want to at least try to slow those guys down. And that was their mindset behind the trade. I just feel like whenever a team signs a KD stopper, or LeBron stopper or whatnot, at the end of the day, just superstars win for a reason. I just think there's just sometimes there's just nothing you can do against players like that. Even if you built your team perfectly, it's just if you don't have those players, sometimes it's just when they're at their peak, there's nothing you can do. So
okay, Matt.
But I just one more thing. Sorry if was going on too long. But the Lakers again with their injuries, I think there is a prime opportunity here for the Nuggets to win. I'd favor the Lakers in the series, but I would not be completely shocked if the Nuggets pulled this off this not actual upset because it's 4-5, but beating the first team to beat LeBron in the first round, it wouldn't shock me here.
Okay. Matt, who do you got in the series?
I got the Lakers, but I do think that by the addition of getting Aaron Gordon, that Nuggets front court is just nuts now. And I think
it's solid.
It's kind of come playoff time. I feel like it's going to have a load off of Jokic's back now that he has Aaron Gordon's help. But one thing that I will say that if they want this game or this series to go to a game 6 or 7, I feel like it's crucial for the Nuggets to win those first two games. If they don't, that's tough because I feel like then the Lakers are going to obviously take off. But I think those first two games are going to be super important to the Nuggets if they want to – they do want to beat the Nuggets. I mean, not the Nuggets. They do want to beat the Lakers. So, I think it'll be a real good first round, though, especially it being out in the West. Because the East, I mean, it's we
know what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
We know what's going on.
But I think out West, though, I think a matchup like that, especially for the first round, is going to be real, nice to see from a fan's point of view. So, yeah.
All right. So three of us chose Lakers. One of us chose Nuggets. I mean, if that series happens, that would be that'd be probably one of the best 4-5 matchups I will probably or any of us will ever see in our lifetimes.
Western Conference repeat. Or they were in the Western Conference Finals, right?
Yeah.
And the one thing I was going to say is that if I'm the Nuggets, though, I don't want to get to a Game 7 because we know who Game 7 belongs to. So I want to beat him in 6. I don't want to get to that 7th game. So.
I think it's going to be a moot point because I think that the Lakers are going to slide more than – I think they might even be a 6 seed, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, this is not guaranteed by any means. The Lakers have a relatively tough schedule coming up. So it could be Clippers. It could be LA versus LA for all we know.
I think that's probably what it'll end up being, and I would favor the Lakers pretty heavily in that one.
But I'd have the Clippers in that one. So
the entire sports media realm would lose their collective minds if they played in the first round. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, Shannon Sharp, Skip Bayless, they would lose their minds if that happened. That would be incredible to watch. Probably almost more entertaining than the game itself. All right. So last one before we head off to the weekend bracket, just a potential playoff matchup that could happen. Not saying it will, but it could. Milwaukee Bucks and Miami Heat, another potential repeat of last year's bubble when the Heat beat them promptly in about 5 games. I'm going to start with Matt this time. Matt, if the Bucks and Heat were to play in the playoffs this year, let's say in the first round, who do you think would win and why?
So I probably told you this numerous times, but I'm just the Bucks to me, they do the same thing every year. And it's they have Giannis and he's gonna do it what he does every year. And I just something in me, and I felt this way when the season first started, but because everybody was in this shock phase that the Heat were was as low as they were. And obviously, they're still not high up, but they made some progress from the beginning of the season to now.
Yes, absolutely.
But something in me is just saying, I feel like they're one of those teams where, I told you before, right now, they're treating this season like a marathon, and they're not coming out full sprint, full speed ahead.
Yeah, for the first time, too.
Yeah, I feel like right now, they're pacing themselves. And if we were to see this matchup in the playoffs, I wouldn't sleep on the Miami Heat. I think that when it's showtime, they have all their players ready to go. And that experience last year is going to help tremendously, I think, in this year's playoff run. I may be the only one, but I got the Heat. I got the Heat.
Okay. Let's go Josh next. Josh, who do you have in a potential Bucks Heat?
Last year I remember when the Heat went up 3-0, I was first really astounded. I knew that people were saying the Heat matched up really well against the Bucks, but I've always been a big believer in the process, not the process, but just the process of in general the best teams generally figure things out.
Yeah,
and the Bucks for the last 2-3 years have just been a dominant team. They've they've been shattering, or not shattering, but like they've been among the top teams ever play basketball in terms of like net rating and whatnot. So in general, I just feel like those teams tend to figure it out. But I was just kind of proven wrong last year. Like I continue to hold out hope after they were down 3-0. I'm like, the Bucks could still win this, you know? But then, you know, Giannis got hurt anyway, so that never even came to be a chance. I don't think it would have happened anyways. But the Bucks, I will say, compared to years past about the Bucks, we'll always do this. They're trying to be different this year. Like that dominant defense they had in terms of just packing the paint, not letting anybody at the rim, that defense is gone. Like I don't know what they are in defensive rating, but I know they're not first. And I think they don't really play. Like they shipped out Eric Bledsoe, and they signed a bunch of role players that are more like offensive first, like Bryn Forbes, Bobby Portis kind of fellas. So they're trying to be different this year, and like Matt said, they're taking more of a marathon, not a sprint kind of approach, preparing themselves for the playoffs, which I think is the right move. It's just a question of, you know, can they actually make that happen in the postseason? And I think that I think Drew Holiday is a perfect playoff player. Mm-hmm. It's just a question of, do the Bucks have enough like shot creation and whatnot to, you know, take those tough shots in the playoffs? Like I feel like that's a big handicap in Giannis's game, is that he is just one of the most dominant players in the league, obviously, but he's not really like the Raptors, for example, in 2019, they just packed the paint against him. There's not really much he could do there, because they didn't really have any other shot creators on that team. So Basically it was Giannis drove into a wall of three different people, kicked it out, and the Bucks were just missing open threes. So in this series, I feel like this is one that all the numbers and just evidence would point towards the Bucks being favored in it. And it also feels like one of the ones where I would bet on it. I'd be like, hey, I'm going to take the Bucks in this one, because I think people are overrating based on past performance, the Heat here. But I also know, just gut feeling, that this would be another one where, just despite all that, the Heat just figure out a way to go up 2-0, and now there's all this talk. The Bucks have the yips again, and and they end up losing it. So that's just my gut feeling. And Jimmy Butler is the Bucks' father, so it's tough. It's tough, but
So Miami for
I
you.
Gotta
then.
Pick. No, I'm still picking the Bucks.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm being naive about it.
I was like, wait, hold on a second. Wait, which team is he picking here?
Okay. I just know I'm gonna be wrong. I'm picking the Bucks, but I know I'm gonna be wrong. So
okay, yeah.
If this series happens, obviously. But so I think that the Bucks are trying to do something different this year, and I don't think it'll be huge in this series. But I think the addition of PJ Tucker, if he's not washed, he's actually healthy, which is a big if, I guess. But
big PJ Tucker.
Yeah,
fan.
I think if he could just sit in the corner and hit those threes like he did on the Harden Chris Paul teams, I think he could still be playable. And I think he's one of the actual better guys that guarded KD for if or when they meet the Nets in the playoffs. So okay. For the series, yeah, I'm picking the Bucks, but I'll be wrong. So
okay. Ronnie, how about you? What say you about all this?
I think that I want to take the Bucks, but I just have such a hard time. Like, they haven't shown me that, like, any reason to pick them. Like, you sit there and you think about it. They have the best player in the series. They have probably the more talented team on paper, like, if you just take a look at the roster.
Definitely.
But I think that I just think that Miami would win. We've kind of seen it play out, and I think that Miami's better at what they did against the Bucks last year now than they were then. Like, Bam's gotten better. Jimmy hasn't regressed. He's still, like, he's built for the playoffs. He's one of those guys who really can turn the switch on when you need him to, even though he kind of always has it on. But, like, he has another level that he can go to. And the Heat's younger players have developed kind of on course with like how they were planned to. For me in the Bucks, it's all about Budenholzer.
Like, yes, good. That's a good point.
If they do face the Heat and get bounced in the first round, he's gone. Like, he's just got to be gone. I don't care if Giannis likes him. I don't care if he gets along with like all the guys. Like, he's just got to go. if you face the same team 2 years in a row and they're not like a perennial powerhouse, like it's not like we're talking about the Nets or, you know what I mean, one of these teams that's heavily favored to be there at the end. Like the Heat are a talented team and they play very hard, but they're not the most talented team in the East and they're really not in that top tier. And if you get bounced by them 2 years in a row, you pretty much just got out coached.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a hard argument to make because who's out there to replace Bud? That's like a significant upgrade, but you have to, sometimes you just have to like make the change for the sake of making the change because Giannis only has so many years and if Bud's not going to be able to figure out how to best utilize him or, and some of it is on Giannis and his lack of like shot creation, I guess. He really has one way he gets to his shots. He faces up and drives to the rim. I think like, and Giannis really isn't a back to the basket post player, but you kind of wish he was sometimes. But for me, it's more about Bud. This is Bud's last chance. If he meets up with Miami and they get bounced, I think he's just gone and he's going to be looking for a new job.
I'm happy that you brought up Budenholzer too, because I mean, really, I mean, the last couple of years, the reason, one of the main reasons why the Bucks lost was because he failed to make those adjustments. I mean, he should have noticed it by game four in the conference finals against Toronto that they were going to pack the paint against Giannis, and he didn't develop a strategy. And he got out coached by Spoelstra in last year's playoffs too. So I think those are really good points. I think third time's the charm. I would have Milwaukee in this one. I wouldn't bet on Giannis losing to the same team twice in a row, knowing him and knowing how he, I don't know him personally, but just hearing about how he operates and how he trains, I think he's probably had Miami on his mind every day since they lost. And I think regardless of his lack of jump shot and his other limitations, he's going to find some way to win that series. And I think like what Josh was saying, the addition of Jrue Holiday helps. He's great in the playoffs. He's one of those guys like Rajarandu who elevates his game when he gets to that higher level. And I just don't think they lose again. And if they do, Bud's out, because that just means that he can't harness the total talent of that team to beat a Miami team that's not on the same talent level as a Brooklyn. So I think Milwaukee wins this. They might not be the best matchup. You know, the Heat might kind of outclass them in other ways compared to where they are, but I think Milwaukee wins, and I think they'll win in six if that happens. So
yeah, and just three really quick things I just wanted to add that came across my mind. Number one, this isn't in the bubble anymore. I think the bubble was kind of like an anomaly in terms of some of the outcomes we saw. The Bucks might actually have home court advantage here with fans like we were talking about. So that could be a factor playing in Milwaukee. Another thing is the Heat don't have Jay Crowder anymore, and he was pivotal for that team in their deep playoff run to the finals.
Love Jay Crowder.
So no more Jay Crowder. And the third thing is, I wonder how much differently we'd be talking about the Bucks if they just barely held on in that game three against the Raptors. They would have been up 3-0 in that series if they win that like double overtime game. It just goes to show how like little differences can make like huge swings in terms of the narrative. So
that makes sense. There you go. All right. So two Miami and two Milwaukee, if I counted that right. I think I did. And that is our potential playoff predictions as of right now. So this concludes the NBA portion of this podcast. I want to thank Ronnie especially for being on. Know that you're going to head out now in front of the weekend bracket, but appreciate your time, brother, and thanks for being on.
Yeah, thanks, always guys. Welcome. I'm going to get out of here and catch the Bulls game. Hopefully they win tonight.
Yes, sir.
Give me something to be happy about. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. I'll talk to you later.
See you guys.
All right. See ya. Bye. All right. So we should be having another guest on, a fellow weekend expert like Mr. Josh Bragg over here. His name is Zach Alio. Good friend of the show. Good friends with me and Josh back at school. But he's having a little bit of tech issues right now, which is completely fine. He'll be able to join us in a few minutes, hopefully. But in the meantime, we're going to be doing our music bracket on, like I said before, the weekend. just a super, super brief introduction. He's been on top of the world for several years now. He's easily one of the world's biggest artists. He started out making really kind of like the emotional kind of side of music, and then he kind of evolved a little bit, and then he's been kind of going in different ways ever since he got really popular. So, Josh, do you have anything to say, or Matt, anything to say about The Weeknd before we start?
I mean, I think you covered it all. I think you covered it all. What? I'm trying to remember the...
Hold on. The timeout. Sorry. Timeout. Yeah. That might make stuff difficult to edit. I don't know. Sorry. No, but I think we should at least try to see if we can get Zach in first before we start going, I think.
Okay.
I don't know if you're in hurry to be anywhere, but we should try to...
Showtime.
All right. Welcome to another episode of Area 11. My name is Kyle Kekka, alongside my awesome co-host, Mr.
Matt. What's up, guys? How you doing?
All right. Doing good. So we are back for a music bracketology. I don't know how many brackets we've done so far. We've done quite a bit, but this bracket is going to be centered on The Weeknd, a Canadian legend, a superstar. He's been in the worldwide consciousness for several years now, and well deserved. He's a fantastic singer. He's made a lot of great songs, been a lot of great features, and we're gonna kind of debate some of his 16 songs. So to help Matt and I out, we have two very special guests, two friends of the show, Mr. Josh Bragg and Mr. Zach Alio. What's up, guys? How's it going?
It's great to be here.
Doing great. Great to be here again.
Excellent. Excellent. So. So for those of you who have not watched Area 11 yet, the way that these brackets work is we have 16 songs. In this case, it's going to be for The Weeknd. And we have them in a March Madness kind of like Sweet 16 style bracket where we debate 16 of the songs that we think are some of that artist's greatest songs. We'll kind of like go throughout the bracket, you know, why, you know, what song was chosen over which song, like why that happened, stuff like that. And then we'll just share all four of ours. So without further ado, let's have Zach share his bracket first, because Zach has not been on the show yet. So let's go through.
Alrighty. I got to give a little shout out to Josh because
I knew it.
Yeah, I had to. So little backstory, me and Josh were roommates in 2018, and then I kind of like went to his house or apartment multiple times throughout the years and stuff like that. But I liked The Weeknd before 2018, before that year. I listened to some of his stuff and other albums. Starboy was probably the first album I really listened to before that. And Beauty Behind the Madness in high school. But when I met Josh, I found out that he's got so much more music than just those two albums. So I do owe a lot of sharing the light for me from Josh, and I appreciate that. So I don't know if he's going to agree with any of these picks. They might be good, might be bad, but we will see. So you can obviously see I got the blinding lights. We'll get to that, you know, later. But we'll start with the first one with the number one seed, Blinding Lights, and then 16, I Was Never There. I really can't knock Blinding Lights out in the first round. I'd probably get hate mail for that. it wouldn't be good.
Pitchforks would be coming out.
Yeah, it's a good song. We've heard on the radio for about a year and probably a couple months now. So it's a classic. So obviously it moves on. Next, we have High For This and In Your Eyes. Both really good songs. In Your Eyes got a remix also. But I got to go with the trilogy classic, High For This. So I moved that one on too. Austin Loft Music. Now, Loft Music was one of the first songs from the trilogy era that I really liked. And I only found out later that one of my other favorite bands, Beach House, was featured on it. They were sampled. So to me, it's a really personal song. It's very chill. You can pregame with it if you want. Nothing too crazy, like some of The Weeknd's more newer stuff. But unfortunately, Austin is just, it's too good. It's The Weeknd bragging about his life. Probably the peak life. You know, he's talking about drugs, sex, all that. All the women he's been with. It's one of those songs where you just listen to it and you feel great about yourself. So unfortunately, Loft Music did not make that round. So next we have Reminder in the Hills. The Hills is probably the first song I ever heard from The Weeknd. And I feel like for a lot of people, that might be it too. That's probably when he became mainstream with Beauty Behind the Madness. And but he goes up against Reminder. And I only got into Reminder, I think, 2019 when I found it. And the music video is one of my favorite videos from him, like, all time, too. It's got so many famous people, so many famous rappers. Yeah.
Yep.
And it's endless. And it's kind of him bragging about being in L.A. finally, leaving Toronto and all that. And I just love the vibe. So definitely like that one song. So moved it on. Then we got over to the right side. We got Call Out My Name and King of the Fall. Call Out My Name is a really good song. And, you know, obviously it's the 50 Shades franchise with that. He really did a good song with that one. But King of the Fall is another song I found out probably around 2019 also. And I had to illegally download that off, you know, my computer and put on my phone because
you rebel.
I told Josh this, and he knows. He had it on his laptop too. It's just it wasn't available for like public, you know, listen. You had to go on YouTube and listen to it that way. And you know, eventually you get tired, so you just download it. And then I think it was this past fall he finally released it on Spotify and Apple Music and all that. So I deleted the old file finally, so that was nice. But yeah, King of the Fall for me is just it's such a good song. So Call My Name was great, but I had to move it up. Next we have Kiss Land, Party Monster. Party Monster, I think it's a good song, but to me, it's kind of a little bit basic. It's kind of simple. I mean, you can listen to it like in the club or something like that. You know, while you're drinking with your friends or whatever, but it's good. And I think from the whole Starboy album, it kind of reflects that whole quality. And I don't think it's a bad album. I just think it's, you know, it's okay. It's not great. It's probably a 7 for me. But it goes up against Kiss Land, and Kiss Land, I didn't get into until, you know, the Weeknd kind of went back to that and did a promo for it. I think it was sometime right after he released After Hours last year. So when I'd be driving up between Bloomington and Springfield, I'd be listening to that album for a little bit. And Kiss Land, the, you know, the title track of it was just so good. It's almost like two songs mixed together. And the second part to me is just, it kind of reminds me of King of the Fall a little bit. You know, it really amplifies after that. And it's the Weeknd talking about his life after kind of becoming famous. So I really like that one. Get to speed up a little bit. We got The Morning and Lowlife. Lowlife is great with Future. Love the two of them together. But to me, The Morning is just one of those songs from Trilogy that I love. And I think it's an absolute classic from him. I mean, to me, it's a pretty perfect song from him. So Morning went on. Pray For Me and Sidewalks. Two Kendricks. So it's kind of tough. Sidewalks, it kind of grew on me a little bit. So I wanted to pick that one, but Pray For Me is just too perfect. Kind of like a feature. Yeah, it's gels well. And obviously it came from the Black Panther album, which is also amazing. Kendrick produced that one. So just good song. So I moved that one up. So now we're getting to the really good songs. Got Blinding Lights versus High For Us. Like I said, I'm going to get Pitchforks and Angry Mail. So I had to move Blinding Lights up. It's a good song. It's a classic one. So I moved that one up.
We're just tired of hearing it. That's all.
Yeah, no, I know. Then we have Often, Reminder. Like I said, I love Reminder, but Often's too good. So we had to go with that one. King of the Fall versus Kiss Land. Kiss Land's good, but like I said, I love King of the Fall. I think it's one of his better songs. I kind of like The Morning. So I moved that one up. And then we got The Morning versus Pray For Me. Morning, obviously, had to move that one up too. So now with my final four, I got Blinding Lights versus Often. And I had to, it's number one single, you know. The Weeknd had a great year, had to move that up again. Often's great, you know, from 2015, but nothing can beat Blinding Lights right now. So then we go to King of the Fall versus The Morning. This is probably the toughest pick between the two for me. I kind of debated back and forth, moving The Morning into it and the King of the Fall back and forth. And they're two different moods, you know. The Morning is very chill, relaxed, and King of the Fall is kind of the opposite. You know, you got The Weeknd in Toronto bragging about his life again, like often. So I did King of the Fall for there. And then, yeah, ultimately, I had to finally knock off Blinding Lights. It's a good song. It's a great song. I've said that 50 times, apparently. but at the end of the day, I think a song that kind of sums up The Weeknd overall between his unknown status and his almost getting to LA status from Toronto would be King of the Fall. I think he vibes so well there. It's kind of like a mix between R&B and rapping a little bit. And the music video for that one is also amazing. I think it's probably top two for me with Reminder.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, definitely King of the Fall is my top song. So
interesting. Okay.
Righty.
Yeah.
My bracket's gonna be a lot different than Zach's.
I expected that, yeah.
Still good though. I mean, you can never go wrong with the Weeknd. He's a great artist.
Yep.
Josh, want to go next?
Alrighty. So I will share mine, but first I want to say, Zach, I thought you did a really good job there. That was very thorough, and I thought it was a great breakdown. And
I'm trying to impress you, it worked apparently.
It did work. I thought that was really good. So yeah. Bravo. But now it's time for my brackets. And so there it is. If you want to observe it a little bit first. So I don't want to sound like I'm just the best person ever, but I've been a fan of The Weeknd for the longest time, and everyone, like, I like to think, and whenever my friends think of The Weeknd, like, they picture me in their head. yeah. And for some reason, people only think I listen to The Weeknd, which is not true.
I thought it
plenty
was
plenty of different artists. It just so happens that every top song on like my library is The Weeknd. We don't have to get into that. Basically, I he's my favorite artist, and he has been for a long time. First song I heard by him was probably Crew Love back in like.
Oh, great song.
Great song.
Actually, I was
used to be just The Weeknd song, but
I was gonna bring that up when it was my turn. Took it from me.
Yeah. So it's been crazy to see him. He's always been popular pretty much, but it's been crazy to see him emerge to like Super Bowl popular. So, so just heading into this bracket, we'll start with Blinding Lights versus I Was Never There. Like, Zach said, you know, it would be blasphemous if we didn't pick Blinding Lights, at least in one round, since, you know, it is literally the like biggest hit song ever. Not that it's the best song ever, but it's like the biggest hit ever in terms of it's led the charts for literally like 70 months, like whatever months, 48, wait, 70, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's like 6 years.
Like 18 months or whatever it's been, 20 months, it's just been dominating the charts. It's still in like the top 10 or whatever. I don't know when it's ever going to leave the top 100, if it ever does. It's just been, it is the definition of a hit song. It's eclipsed even The Hills and Starboy and Can't Feel My Face. It's just his biggest song ever. So it has to at least make it out of that first round. But I Was Never There. In terms of My Dear Melancholy in general, I wasn't the biggest fan when it came out. Like, I still loved it. But like, if I had to rank it, it'd be lower. But it's really been growing on me over the past couple of years. But yeah, Blinding Lights, I has to win at least one round. Because even though I'm tired of hearing it every single day, it's popular for a reason. And I really liked it when it first came out. I remember I actually downloaded it a few days before it officially came out. It was just like this really low quality version, but it got leaked. And So yeah, it's awesome.
Okay.
But moving on to the next matchup, we got High For This versus In Your Eyes. Both obviously incredible songs. In Your Eyes is a radio hit. It's, you know, it's the one that you, it's got that, you know, forgot the name of the instrument. It's got the
saxophone.
It's got the saxophone, and like Zach said, it's got a couple of remixes as well. The one with Kenny G is really good.
I love the one with Doja Cat.
I like the music video too, or not the music video, but the like VMA performance. I really liked the music video. Yeah. It's kind of weird, but I went for High For This because I just really, that song is just, it just puts you in like an atmosphere of just like, this is what The Weeknd is all about. It's from Trilogy 2, so it's one of the OGs. And this one's just moving on for me because I feel like I've seen some, I haven't seen live performances, but I've seen recorded versions of live performances, and this one I feel like is really good to see live. And then moving on to the next matchup, we got Often versus Loft Music. Loft Music, which is Kyle's favorite song.
I should have
spoiled it.
Maybe not. I have no idea how you.
We don't know.
Can change it now.
But the reason why I picked Often, first of all, is because Often's like incredible, so it's gonna win no matter what. But it's the small problem with Love Music is that the outro is just like, it's the length of this podcast that we just did. Like it. lasts a long time. That outro is just so long, and it can be awesome to have in the background. But if I'm looking for like a song per se, like you know, I can't just like play it at a party because they're just going to be hearing these moans in the background. So it's awesome. The loft music is great, but often just incredible. It's just the music video too is awesome. And again, I keep talking about the atmosphere that it puts you in. Often just like it basically builds off of High for This even more. So we'll get into that more later. But then we have Reminder versus The Hills. The Hills, everyone's heard that song basically, and it's really popular for a reason. Again, there's just kind of like some song fatigue there. I've heard it so much. It's still awesome. It's a banger. But Reminder is just, it's kind of like just a follow-up version of King of the Fall. And that, again, that music video is awesome. And Reminder just, it reminds me of when I first came into college as a college freshman. That's what it reminds me of, and it's just, it's awesome. So moving on to the right side of the bracket, we've got Call Out My Name versus King of the Fall. And I don't remember if this is the first time Zach saw it, but I remember showing me and my roommates that music video to King of the Fall. And when I first saw it, it was a while ago, but I feel like that's a song that not many people know about because it wasn't on any album or anything, and it's kind of hard to find. But that song came out in like 2014, and it's just one of his best songs. Like I didn't have it making my final, but honestly, if I had to pick off of these 16 songs, I think it'd be like third or something. So yeah, King of the Fall, Call My Name is awesome. And, but it's just no match for King of the Fall. Like that song is just goated. So, Kiss Land versus Party Monster. This is a huge first round matchup. It's kind of like the Nuggets and the Lakers here. But at the end of the day, Kiss Land has LeBron James, and it's going to pull out this first round dub. Like Zach said, there's like two parts of this song. And a little personal aside for me from this is that I've only smoked weed once in my life. And the one time that I did, I listened to this song. And,
of course you did.
Yeah,
that's the most Josh thing I think I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, so that's what this song reminds me of, and that was just like, it's a first timer. That was an out of body experience, and I think Kiss Land really kicked that off because it's just like it's like you're going on a voyage, where it's just like you're again, it's like an out of body experience with that song. It just feels like you're ascending. So it's that second half that really gets to you. The first half is great, but the second half feels like you're entering the depths of hell, basically. I've seen that as like a YouTube comment.
Lovely.
It's not my words, YouTube comment. I've seen that. So yeah, Kiss Land for me is another song that a lot of people probably haven't heard before, but if you haven't listened to it, just like King of the Fall, I recommend checking it out. And so Kiss Land, awesome. Then we got The Morning versus Low Life. Low Life. I know Kai really likes that one. I think Matt might too. It reminds me of my senior year of high school because that's when it really got popular. And it's an awesome, chill, but you know, like kind of you can play it at a party as well. This is an awesome song. Future's got a great verse on there, and that's why it can't really win here because it's not even his song. Even though if The Weeknd's your feature, like it is his song, but. The Future's good enough.
He's got a pretty big part on that song, though.
Yeah, Future's good, big enough on that song for it to
be
his. And The Morning is just, it's another trilogy classic, and it's just, it's what you play up when you wake up in the morning and you're just hungover from the night before. So that's what The Morning is. And then we get to the Kendrick matchup. I love how it worked out that way. I didn't set it up like having that in mind, but. Yeah, Pray For Me versus Sidewalks. I feel like Sidewalks is the more popular choice here, but I went with Pray For Me because I just love that song. I love the build up at the beginning of the song where, the vocals in the background are just awesome. And, you know, it's a part of the Black Panther soundtrack. I feel like that's aging really well, especially in light of Chadwick Boseman. May he rest in peace. Mm-hmm. Pray For Me is just, it's just awesome. And now it has, you know, even more of a emotional impact as well. Pray For Me has to win that one there, even though Sidewalks is also really good. Again, it's really hard to narrow this whole thing down to 16 songs, and there's a lot left off here that I could talk about for hours. But we're moving on to our lead eight here. Blinding Lights versus High For This. Get your pitchforks ready. I picked High For This. I've been going on too long. I don't want to get too much into it, but I've just heard Blinding Lights too much. This is what I want to hear more right now. Okay. Blinding Lights is amazing, but even though I think High for This is still a better song, though. It's just, Blinding Lights, it's really good for the radio when you're driving around in the car and whatnot, and it's super popular because it's just, you know, it's an elite song. But High for This, for me, that just defines The Weeknd more, even though he's fit a number of different descriptions and roles. But High for This is just like classic, like, wow, that's just The Weeknd. Then Often versus Reminder. I went with Often because basically everything I said about High for This applies to Often, except Often is just like, I feel like a more superior sound, and it just captures that essence even greater. And the music video is just is so much fun too. It's more like sexually explicit, but it's just, I love it. King of the Fall versus Kiss Land. This one was probably the toughest matchup of the bunch. This is kind of like Loyola versus Illinois in terms of they got screwed by the committee here.
I love the analogies that you have.
Putting this in the second round.
Basketball. Basketball on The Weeknd.
I went with Kiss Land because I already went into why I love Kiss Land. At the end of the day, I had to choose one of these. King of the Fall would be my third ranked song. I'd get the bronze medal, but Kiss Land is just, it's cheating because it's like two songs in one, but that one pulls out the victory there. Again, if you haven't listened to either of the songs, highly recommend checking it out. And then we got The Morning versus Pray For Me. I honestly forgot which one I picked here because this is the weaker side of the bracket. I went with The Morning because, you know, it's The Morning. It's really good. Pray For Me is just not that tier. So that's that for that. High for This versus Often. I already went over it. Often is basically just an upgraded version to my mind. It actually has a music video alongside it. And then Kiss Land versus The Morning. Kiss Land is just a euphoric experience. And then this was actually really tough. Often versus Kiss Land. At the end of the day, I had to go with Kiss Land. It's kind of carrying the weight of the entire album on it. And that may be my favorite album of The Weeknd, even though it's the least popular. Often it's carrying Beauty Behind the Madness. And I have to give a shout out to that because of my March Madness bracket, but that wins pretty often.
I know.
Just came up with that.
We know.
Get it? It wins pretty often. I just came up with that. Wow.
You're so clever. Good job.
Thank you. There's no foresight into that whatsoever. But yeah, Kiss Land takes the dub here because Kiss Land is the greatest song of the weekend. So sorry if I went on too long. That's my bracket.
All right. Yeah, this is making me very anxious to show mine because mine is completely different than the other two. So yeah. Matt, why don't you go next?
Oh, crap.
I think we all know, I mean, Josh and Zach are like the resident like Weeknd experts, and now Matt and I are over here like, yeah, we like The Weeknd.
I'm here. Yeah, we like him.
But here we go. Here we go. Yep, it's a different era.
Let's get upset.
It's a different era.
How you guys feel about, so I just feel this song is overplayed. And I've gotten sick and tired of it.
Yeah, it's understandable.
So I Was Never There coming out. High for This and In Your Eyes. Often and Loft Music. Like everybody said before me, Often is a classic. Come on now. You can't.
Come on now.
Reminder in the Hills. Man, oh man. Like Zach said, I think obviously I heard the audio first and then the music video came out after the fact, obviously.
Yeah.
But man, that music video was just ridiculous. And I guess epic. The Weeknd already, like, I feel like with his music, he already sets off like a certain tone, a certain vibe. But like, I think one thing of having all those cameos appearing in music video was like over the top, but just like the overall like theme and vibe that it had with it. Like, all their shots were in slow motion. It was, the entire music video wasn't bright, kind of had like a dark theme to it, but you know what I'm saying? It was real nice, man. Call Out My Name and King of the Fall. These two were pretty hard because I think King of the Fall, like everybody mentioned before, is a real classic. Call Out My Name is a classic as well, but I just think that out of what I have so far, I needed, like, I think this kind of falls into, like, obviously, like, the love, you know, emotions, and so I needed to have a nice blend in this bracket. So I got that coming out, and then Kiss Land, Party Monster. I think it I don't know. I think Zach might have mentioned it, but I think it really does kind of makes up what Starboy was as an mm-hmm. album. Yeah. And it really gave like that real electric, high energy type feel to it. So I got Party Monster coming out, The Morning and Low Life, Man on Man. Now we already did a Future bracket, but we had to bring it back for the one time.
Yes, sir. Low Life, great song.
Like how I said in a previous podcast, that Future album, Evil. Magnificent, and I think like
it goes hard for sure.
Hearing like I guess like I mean, cause everybody knows what Future sound like, but I think like having The Weeknd on as a feature, but primarily on the hook, it kind of brought out a new side of Future. I felt like, and just it gave like the overall whole song just a real different feel. Something that I think it kind of made both artists kind of step out their comfort zone and try something new. So I like that a lot. Pray for Me and Sidewalks. Come on now, Pray for Me, Black Panther album. Shout out to TDE. Shout out to Kendrick. Song is a banger. Back to Top Left, I Was Never There in Your Eyes. I got In Your Eyes. Often versus Reminder. You know what I'm saying? Trust a reminder. Call Out My Name and Party Monster. I got Party Monster and Low Life and Pray for Me. You see, right now, I really couldn't do the wrong because both of these songs, The Weeknd was the feature, so I you know what I'm saying? It was a toss up, but I had to go Low Life because, like I said, Low Life is fire. Final four, In Your Eyes versus Reminder. I got Reminder because, like I said, song is fire. Party Monster and Low Life. I was super close to choosing Low Life. But this is not a Future bracket. This is a Weeknd bracket.
Exactly.
So I had to go Party Monster. And then the championship, we got Reminder versus Party Monster. And as you can see, I chose Reminder. This song was already a threat when it was released. But The Weeknd blessed us with a remix. And God, now I know the remix is on the list, but God. Yeah. It's really hard to have both the original and the remix fire. And honestly, Reminder is one of those songs where you can put on both the remix and the original and it'll still knock. But like I said, for the purpose of the bracket and what we do here at Area 11, I got Reminder as my winner. Yes, sir.
Alrighty. That's a very respectable choice.
Starboy. Thank you. The Battle of Starboy songs. Yeah, my bracket is definitely closer to Matt's. I think Matt and I definitely agree on some more of these here. So I'm gonna share mine. And voila. All right. So
I knew it.
Yeah, you spoiler.
I spoiled that.
When you said loft music, I was like, come on, Josh. Yeah. Are you kidding me right now?
You know, I get so on top of people trying to I don't want people to spoil Falcon the Winter Soldier for me and whatnot.
Oh my god, you're crazy about that.
I don't
spoiling loft music and everything else in the world. So.
Oh man,
I'm such a hypocrite. I apologize.
Nah, I'm just kidding. All right, I think we all knew that it might have been loft music anyway. So all right, so I'm gonna keep it short and sweet. Blinding Lights is a better song than I Was Never There, regardless of what Matt says. High for this taking on In Your Eyes. So honestly, I like the Doja Cat remix better. I love Doja Cat. I think she's great. But I would still keep the original In Your Eyes over High for this. I think they're both very good songs. But
would you take the original In Your Eyes over the Kenny G one, or would you take the Kenny G one?
That's a tough one. Kenny G. Yeah, I might have to take Kenny G on that one. But yeah. But you know, I still like the original more. Anyway, Often versus Loft Music. So this one was actually harder than you'd think. I love Loft Music, but I love Often. They're both very vibey songs. I think Often has a lot more bass and Loft Music is definitely more subdued. But I kind of put myself in the mindset of which one would I listen to if I was in my field the most, because that's kind of how I judge some Weeknd songs, and I'd have to go with Loft Music. It is a beautiful song. Reminder versus The Hills. Reminder just goes hard, and that's arguably Starboy's best song. I got nothing but love for The Hills, but Reminder is better than The Hills.
For The Hills, it hasn't won a single matchup.
That's tough. That's true.
We all just got tired of it. We all just got tired of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like what Matt said, the remix for Reminder is fantastic as well. So, but I mean, even the original just goes hard. Yeah. Call It My Name versus King of the Fall. I like King of the Fall. But I think Call It My Name, I've probably listened to more, and I liked that song a lot when it came out. So I got to go with Call It My Name. Kissland versus Party Monster. I'm a huge Party Monster fan. This would give Reminder challenges for best song from Starboy. I love Party Monster. I've listened to it more than Kissland. I have none but love for Kissland as well. But Party Monster to me takes the cake. The Morning versus Low Life. Shout out Future. Shout out Weekend. Great combination. They balance out each other so very well. So I got to go with Low Life. And then Pray For Me versus Sidewalks. This was actually very tough. I love both of these songs. The issue with Sidewalks is that I think Kendrick's verse on that is not very good. And I think Pray For Me is a more encompassing song. Kendrick's my favorite rapper of all time, and he has to go do that. So yeah, I got to go with Pray For Me. So on to the Elite Eight, Blinding Lights versus In Your Eyes. I think Blinding Lights is a very good song, but In Your Eyes is better. Loft Music versus Reminder. This one was extremely tough. But Loft Music grinds it out again. I just kind of put myself in the perspective of if I want to listen to The Weeknd, which Weeknd do I want? And I want Loft Music Weeknd. Call It My Name versus Party Monster. I got Party Monster. It's more of a kind of get you going, kind of more versatile song. Call It My Name is just kind of a song. Like it's a very good song, but it's kind of like kind of if you're sad, stuff like that. So I got to go with Party Monster. It's a great song to pregame too as well. And then Low Life versus Pray For Me. Both very good songs, obviously. But I got to go with Low Life. I think Future and The Weeknd, I think their chemistry is very, very good. And that's easily a top three song on that album. So I got to go with Low Life. In Your Eyes versus Loft Music. This one was actually not very tough. I love Loft Music. And I kind of want to go back to what Josh was saying earlier about Loft Music and how the back end of the song kind of like that wailing. I actually really, really, really like that.
It's good.
So it took me a couple songs or listens to really get into it. But I'm like, you know, this is actually really solid. I like how he just kind of like lets it all out there. And what's funny is that Josh put this on his Instagram story a couple days ago. So I'm like, this is going to be a prelude. So
I did. That's right.
So Loft Music is going to make the championship. Party Monster versus Low Life. This one was very tough. But I think Party Monster edges out Low Life just because I've probably listened to Party Monster more than Low Life overall. So, and I love both songs, so I got to go with Party Monster. And then Loft Music versus Party Monster. Oh man, this one was actually very tough. But Loft Music, I can't have it get this far and just lose like that. You know, and this is kind of like the great irony of my bracket too, because like Matt's, my Weeknd bracket is very much past like 2015 Weeknd. Like not a whole lot of emphasis on his earlier stuff, but there's something about Loft Music that just gets me every single freaking time I listen to that song. It is amazing. So I got to go with Loft Music. Party Monster is a worthy opponent, but Loft Music wins 78-74. Last possession of the game. Double free throws. It's a free throw battle. So I got to go with Loft Music. So yeah, that is my bracket.
Nice.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to Party Monster. That song is awesome, and I've played it literally like hundreds of times. That is my go-to pre-game party song. It drew an unfortunate matchup with Kissland in the first round. So
yeah, so I do want to ask Josh and Zach in particular, because you guys are more classic Weeknd fans than Matt and I. Why is Starboy not considered one of his best works? Because I feel like it's not compared to like other works like Kiss or like the trilogy and other things like that. Why is it that Starboy is not necessarily ranked as high as those among Weeknd fans?
I'd say it's because it's seen as more like poppy.
Okay.
And it doesn't really like play into like, you know, the dark R&B aspect of it, which is what people think when they think The Weeknd.
Okay.
I mean, I love that when an artist goes through different phases and tries different things, and I really like Starboy, but that I'd say that's probably the biggest reason is that like it clearly has that pop element to it, or okay. It's not trying to impress in terms of lyricism or content. It's just like, hey, this sounds cool. It's fun to play. I think that's why. And all, another factor I'd say is that it's literally like 20 something songs long. Like, there's so much filler on there. That's even true. Though I always enjoy the filler, but like, really, like, is True Colors even like a real song? Like, like, there's just so much.
Probably not.
There's so much just like, much content that didn't need to be there. But yeah, it's still awesome. And I think Beauty Behind the Madness is also similar, but not in the same way. So.
Yeah, I feel like Beauty Behind the Madness is kind of that bridge in between like his mainstream and then also his older stuff, from a casual viewing fan's perspective. So.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Josh on that last point about too many tracks for sure. Because I think in future albums, after albums, it was like, I guess the next album he released, basically, he kind of cut it down. And I think that's kind of a perfected version, what he was trying to do with Starboy. Because like, you know, what Josh was saying, he's experimenting, you know, he's trying different things. I don't think it's bad. Like, I think it's like, you know, it's a good album.
Yeah.
And if you want to play at a party, like Party Monster, like I feel like I was trashing it like earlier, saying it was not great. I think it's a good song.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just there's songs where like Reminder to me is probably the best song in the whole album. And it's like it kind of reminds me of Beauty Behind the Madness a little bit, and then definitely After Hours for sure. But yeah, Starboy is just he's trying out a lot of things, and it's kind of like throwing paint at a wall and seeing what sticks. And you know, he had Daft Punk on a few songs, like Starboy. It's the actual song. It was really good. You know, it's to me, it's an okay album. You know, it's not horrible, but you know, he obviously could do better, and he did. So
okay. Yeah, I think even though I think every album is the GOAT, but every album of the Weeknd is the GOAT. But I think Beauty Behind the Madness or Starboy, I'd rank towards the bottom. So
okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair. Probably Matt, it looks like we're the outliers, Matt.
I mean, you know, you win some, you lose some.
And sorry.
But let me ask you guys this question. What do you think is his worst album?
Beauty Behind the Madness, I think.
Okay. I'm going to say Starboy.
Dang.
I know. I was hoping that question was going to be asked.
I wasn't
too fond. Like I'm not a real huge Weeknd fan, but like the ones that stuck out to me obviously was Party Monster and Reminder. But I think like besides that, I was like hearing his previous stuff, I was expecting a little bit more. And I guess I think like somebody said, like it was too poppy for me.
Yeah,
I guess I wasn't really feeling that. I didn't want that sound from him, you know what I'm saying? I wanted like the original Weeknd sound that we all know. So yeah,
I don't know. Sorry. Wait, go ahead, Matt.
No,
ask your question,
go.
Right?
Oh no, I'm sorry, I was just gonna mention that if Die For You was on that bracket.
I left that out.
I can't believe I left that out. That's one of my favorite songs off Starboy.
Yeah,
if that song was on there, that definitely would have made at least Elite Eight.
Yeah, one thing about Starboy, I don't know if you have seen this video, but it's not the greatest song. It's honestly kind of mid. But False Alarm, the music video, is just so much fun.
Yeah, that's a great
video.
Have you seen
that, Matt? Have you seen that music video?
I think so. It's probably been a while.
Watch it again tonight if you haven't. Maybe it'll be the first time. But that, I'm not going to spoil it if you haven't seen it, but it's fun. It's not even like a music video. It's just like...
I'll check it out.
I won't say what it is. It's just a lot of fun. So,
but
yeah, even like people who don't like The Weeknd will like that music video. So.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think that concludes this weekend bracket. That was a lot of fun. Four pretty unique brackets. Want to say thanks again to Josh and Zach for being on. Appreciate you guys. And Matt, what do we do here at Area 11?
Man, you already know
we echo the culture.
I didn't ask you.
if you're watching this, if you're listening to this, you see the people responding. They know what's up, you know. So it's good that we're starting to make some noise. With this video, season 2 is officially underway, and we hope to just keep on pushing out this content for you guys.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Kyle. Thanks for having us.
Yes, appreciate you guys having our coming on. That was super fun. Zach, how was your first time on Area 11?
It was great. I know we had technical difficulties for a little bit, but I got on. So, no, it was really fun, and I really appreciate it. So
yeah, of course. All right. Well, this concludes it. So hope you guys have a Have a good evening, and make sure to leave a like and subscribe. And we're Area 11. Talk to you guys later.
Peace out.